If you do have your Bibles with you, or your devices, there's just one passage I'm going to highlight today, and then we're going to bounce off where Sarah's led us into, looking at the review and how Jesus is better. So, and that's Hebrews 13 verse 22, which says, "I urge you, dear brothers and sisters." Actually, a good phrase there for "I urge you," it's simply "listen up." Listen up. He's getting to the end of a letter. Any of you remember, we did this in Life Group on Thursday night, any of you remember getting to the end of a really cool book and the last chapter there's just some twists, or watching a movie and you get to the end of it and you think, I didn't see that coming. Well, he's getting to the end of the book, and so he just wraps it up and pulls it together. And he says, listen up, or in Bible language, I urge you, brothers and sisters, kids, whoever's reading it, pay attention to what I have written in this brief exhortation. So it's a brief exhortation. It's 13 chapters. He could have gone a lot longer, a bit like a sermon every now and then, I suppose. But he says, this is a brief letter, but I tell you what, it's weighty. It is just really, really good to have been able to sit in this book. And there's a real benefit to sitting in a book, because for a lot of us, we just have a piecemeal understanding. You know what a piecemeal is? It's like when you go to a cafeteria, and it's not like when you get served lunch or tea at home, you know, when your mum or dad puts the food in front of you and you've got to eat it. Well, maybe that's how our kids lived. But a cafeteria, say, I'll have a little bit of this, I'll have a bit of that, and mostly chocolate or a bit of that. Don't give me the green vegetables. So we have a piecemeal understanding of the Bible, because we bounce into this book, we jump into that book, we grab this verse from there. And the beauty of doing a series through a book is that helps us to understand that entire letter in the context of the grand narrative, the big picture. And Hebrews does that, because it takes us back to the Old Testament all the time. In fact, if you don't have a bit of an understanding of the Old Testament, it's really hard to understand Hebrews. So we encouraged you in that right from the start. So there are two main goals that the writer of Hebrews wanted to achieve, and they're up for review this morning, unlike the crow's goal that was not reviewed. These are up for review for us today. And in the first one was, he wanted to elevate Jesus as superior and worthy of all their trust and loyalty. Jesus is better. We've used the phrase, Jesus is the best of the best of the best. Think Men in Black. Second one, his second goal was the challenge followers of Jesus to remain faithful to Jesus despite persecution. They were doing it hard, probably more hard than what most of us would have ever experienced. And the temptation was to fall away, and he encourages them to keep following. So that's the practical application. We wind up our study this week. I'm reminded that the writer says, as he finishes the letter, pay attention, listen up to what I've written in this brief exhortation. The message renders it, take what I've written most seriously. And it's repeated throughout the book. In 5:11, he says, there is much more I would like to say about this, but it's difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. How would you like to have someone tell you that? You see, sometimes we don't listen. It's like the parent who says to you, why don't you listen to what I say? Any of you hear that said at any time? Why don't you listen? How many times have I had to tell you? Parents? A couple of months, or it'd be 3 or 4 months now, I There's a part of Granite Island out the back on the southwest end. There's a gnarly little wave there. And we were paddling one day. I'd heard the stories of paddlers coming to grief on that corner, particularly when it's nice and quiet. And this was a glassy day. It was just gorgeous. Sun was just thinking about getting up, and we're out the back of the island. And when it's like that, there's no big ocean swell coming in, which would come in and then bounce off, so you get rocked around a lot. So when it's really flat like that, we tend to go a little closer to the island because we get to see bits that we don't normally see, and it's just really chilled and lovely. And we were two-thirds around the back of the island. My friends were out a little bit further, and I was in pretty close and got into sleepy mode at that hour of the morning and hadn't noticed that there's a swell coming in. And I turned around, and about from here to the wall away, this wave was just starting to jack up, and I thought, it's not good. So I turned my boat round to the left and didn't quite pull it all the way around, and this wave just broke on my head. And so you lean over, you brace, and I'm bouncing, and the boat's up like this. And I thought, I got this, and boom, off we go. I'd go for a swim, but I was a little bit rather close to the island. And my crew came in, they got me out, and, you know, I had heard the stories. I had heard the listen up tone. This is in there, that little spot, there's more than one paddler that's come to grief. I don't go that close anymore because I've got listening ears now that understand that's not a good thing to do. It was fine, don't worry, it wasn't anything drastic, but it was a fun swim and the water was cold. But the reader's here, he's saying, look, in all that we've explained to you, I want you to listen up, because if you don't, it's not good. Bad things happen. And we have read of several warnings. That's where we're going to go. You see, the application of Jesus is better, is better, is better. We can say, yes, Jesus is the best, Jesus is this, Jesus is that, but if it doesn't actually change the way that we live, then it's just something that we understand, but we're not really listening to. We have maybe listened, but we haven't heard. And there's a difference between the two. So he gives a list of warnings. Let's have a look at some of them, and then we'll get you engaged in this in a real way. So the first warning was from Hebrews 2, verse 1. We must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may, what's the word? Drift. And we're not talking about a four-wheel drift. We're talking about drifting, i.e. boat that has lost its moorings. And so he says to them, I want you to listen really carefully, because if you don't, you will drift, and the potential of you being washed up on the rocks becomes even more likely. So our anchor, as we look at it, is our anchor is in Jesus. But if we're not listening to who Jesus is and who he wants to be in our lives, the potential is that we can drift. Because they were listening, but they weren't obeying the word of God. And in fact, one party says, look, you've spent most of your spiritual life drinking milk. By now you ought to be meat eaters. In fact, another part of the Bible, Timothy says, look, you'll gather for yourself some people who will give you your own desires, and you'll look for teachers who will tell you what your itching ears want, because it's really easy. He says, I want you to go beyond that, and I want you to listen up and to listen carefully, or you'll begin to drift. The other warning is from Hebrews 3, verse 12 and 13. He says, be careful, dear brothers and sisters, make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. You must warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. This was an urgent call. He says here, take care, be careful. Warn each other every day. So let me ask you this. Who are you warning, or who's warning you? You know, if you saw a house on fire, someone would be raising the alarm, wouldn't you? That's why you have smoke alarms in your house. They go off at the most inopportune time, normally when someone has burnt the toast. But they're there for a reason. They sound the alarm. And that's the picture that he gives here. He says here, warn each other every day while it is still today. You've got today. Take the time to be somebody who is warning. Against what? The sin of not seeing Jesus as all that he is. And also hardening our hearts against God and going back to the old ways. So here's the second warning. Keep your heart soft towards God. Keep your heart soft towards God. The third one, Hebrews 10:23, let us hold lightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promises. Love the songs we did this morning. Reminder of the promises of God. Hebrews reminds us of God's promises. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope that we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promises. Here's another one of the lettuces in the book of Hebrews. There's a lot of lettuces, not the ones you eat, but let us. And here's another one, the confession of our hope without wavering. Why? Why can we be solid in our faith without faltering or wavering? Because God is faithful to his promises. Jesus is the best of the best of the best. And Jesus, as he is the best, he is also our hope, and we can have faith in his promises. Remember back to Hebrews 4 verse 14. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. Again, holding firmly, not wavering. The hope in Hebrews is the content of our hope, not the sense of hoping. So the content of our hope is this Jesus who is the best. The content of our hope is this God who is faithful. It's not a hope so. Our hope can be rest true in this God. Like the children of Israel, when God called them out of slavery, they were in slavery in Egypt for 400 years. And what happened when things got tough and they were in the wilderness? Where did they want to go back to? They wanted to go back to Egypt, to the leeks and the garlics. They forgot quickly what it was like to be in slavery for 400 years. When the going got tough, they wanted to bail on Moses and go back to what they knew. And that's sometimes what happens for us as Christians, as followers of Jesus. So this idea of Jesus is the best is not just true way back then, it is true for us today that we hold on tightly without wavering, because Jesus is the best and God is faithful. And the fourth one is Hebrews 10:36, patient endurance is what you need now so that you'll continue to do God's will. Don't you hate it when you're going through a tough time and someone says to you, just hang in there? Do you? Anyone else? You know, you get doing it really hard and someone says, just hang in there. It's like, yeah, good on you. You're not in my shoes. Well, actually, that's what the writer's saying. He's saying, just hang in there. Patient endurance is what you need so that you will what? Continue to do God's will. Endure. Don't let your circumstances rattle your confidence in Jesus. Hebrews 10:32 says there, but recall the former days when, after you were enlightened, you endured hard sufferings and struggles. That was their reality, struggles. Now, I had a meeting with a young guy from Myanmar this last week. He If you don't know Myanmar or Burma, he's one of the Chin. So the Burmese, there's Karen that have come out, there's Chin, and amongst the Chin you've got the Somi, you've got there's about five different lines. He was one of the Matu, and the military were wanting him to join the military in Myanmar, and they are corrupt, they murder people, and he'd lost family to the military, and his mum and dad said to him, leave, take your family, go. So they fled into India along with a number of others. In India, he spent 4 years at theological college. So English wasn't his first language. And then after theological college, he sought refugee status and eventually made it to Australia. Now he's in Australia. He's applied to go to theological college again, and they've said to him, your English is not good enough. And I was talking to him, and I said, your English is not good enough. He said, no, Australian English is different from Indian English. he says, you guys talk funny. You talk too fast, you join all your words together. And this was in his broken English. And I was talking to him and said, so what's that like as a Christian in Myanmar? Because I asked him about Adoniram Judson. If you don't know Adoniram Judson, he's one of my heroes. He's a missionary to what was then Burma. And the reason that we now have Karen Christians and over 90% of the Chin in Myanmar or have come out is because of the work of Adoniram Judson, an early missionary there, who put their language into a dictionary and also translated the Bible and spent long times in prison. Here, the Christianity in its culture, it's enculturated that suffering goes alongside Christianity in Burma. That's how it was birthed. And yet, they have so many Christian people there, and it is nothing for them to continue on and pursue what it is to follow Jesus, even though it's really hard. And they really know what suffering is. Suffering is not getting an infected toenail and you're blaming God because it hurts. Which, you know. And so the writer of Hebrews says, patient endurance is what you need, so that you will continue to do the will of God. You know what this young guy is contemplating? He wants to go into ministry. And he's trying to work that out because in his church, unless he's ordained, he can't do communion. One of our Chin churches, they had no communion served for a three-year period once. Because in their culture, to serve communion, you had to be an ordained minister. 3 years without doing communion. That's in Adelaide. They just see things through a different lens. It's another culture. Suffering. Strong faith. Patient endurance. Last one is Hebrews 12, verse 25. Be careful that you do not refuse to listen to the one who is speaking. Be careful. You ever sat there looking at somebody and you're talking? It happens every now and then in sermons. And you're talking, and you can tell nobody's home. It's just, give it up, we're done. They're away somewhere, or they're sitting there thinking about what they're going to talk next when you finally shut up. Sorry, that might be a word you use in your home, but when you stop talking, they're just sitting there waiting for you to stop talking so that they can talk, and that the eyes have glazed over already. Or worst case scenario, their head is in their chest and they're starting to dribble. So he says here, be careful that you do not refuse to listen to the one who's speaking. Be careful is what's good. The grammar is really cool around this. It's present imperative and it's continuous. It's a command. Be careful, not just today, tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day. And don't refuse, don't avoid, don't decline what it is that God is saying to you in this great read, that Jesus is the best of the best of the best. Because he so much wants you to continue. He so much wants you to go deeper in Jesus. And when you hit that wall and things get hard, He wants you to persevere, not to waver, not to step backwards and to drift away. So He says in verse 22, I urge you, dear brothers and sisters, pay attention to what I've written in this brief exhortation. Listen up, people. Whether we are at the young end or at the other end, the writer would say to us, listen up. The Christian path is littered with those that have drifted, hardened their hearts, wavered, faltered, become dull of hearing. But then there are also those that Hebrews talks to us about, that continue to lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily holds them back, running with endurance the race that is set before them, looking to Jesus, the best of the best of the best, the author and finisher of our faith, who has called us to Himself. And then in chapter 11, just in case you're wondering, is anyone able to make it through? Read about the heroes of the faith. And some in there that aren't even named, but who have lived full on for Jesus. So, a couple of questions, then we'll get you up and engaged. Today, as you came in, or maybe this week, do you feel like you're drifting closer to God or further away? What's going on in my life that is causing or has caused me to maybe harden my heart towards God? Doesn't look like that on the outside, but you know. You know. How well do I trust God in the face of trials, or even in the day-to-day routine of getting up and making a bed and following Jesus? Chapter 15, he gives us a list. We won't do it this morning, but maybe in a time of reflection at another time. You see, understanding Jesus is the best. He hits in chapter 3 on a whole bunch of things. See, if Jesus is the best, then I'll love as He's called me to love. He says, love, brotherly love in chapter 15, verse 1. Riley talked about that. If Jesus is the best, then I'll be hospitable. I'll be a nice person. If Jesus is the best, do I care for those who are in prison? If Jesus is the best, do I give honor to my marriage? If Jesus is the best, is my life free from the love of money? If Jesus is the best, am I content with all that I have in Him? If Jesus is the best, do I honor my leaders? If Jesus is the best, am I committed to the truth? You see how practical this book is? Because it's nice to talk about He's better than, better than, better than, better than, and then remember I said as He finishes out a book, like you remember the last chapter of the book that you read, then He says, okay, we can measure how Jesus is the best in your life. And He goes through and He goes, bang, 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 all the way.